Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
When you look up the word, the definition of the word run, you find out rather quickly that the word quick or quickly or a derivative of that word like expeditious, rapid, swift is used with every definition. And so when we look at the literal definition of run, it means to move your legs in a faster or a quicker pace. And then I love what the definition said in the dictionary that I read. It said, for a small moment, both feet are off of the ground at the same time. I love that because as people of God, some of us are so careful and we miss a lot of what God is trying to do because we want to make sure that every step is the right step. But how many of you know that your Bible says that God orders the steps of a good man and a good woman? And so when you trust that God has ordered your steps, and not only your steps for February 18th or February 22nd or February 25th, but you realize that God has already ordered your steps for March. He's already ordered your steps for 2025. He's already ordered your steps 10 years from now. Then you say, God, I have faith to lose control. Because how many of you know when you get in the air and you're no longer on the ground, you are putting faith in something that when you land, you're not going to fall. You're not going to twist an ankle. You're not, but you are going to land where you're supposed to land. And so for that moment when we begin to run, we literally put our faith in another gear. Can I encourage you, church, tonight, that one of the reasons you're here on a Wednesday night and not just a Sunday is you want to shift your faith into another gear. For those of you that remember what it's like to have five on the floor and be shifting in and out of gears, my first truck was a standard truck, and so I had to learn how to shift. Here's the thing, church, there is no new components under the hood when you begin to shift. It just rearranges things, and you can do things in fifth gear that you couldn't do in first gear. And so I've come to encourage somebody, but I've also come to challenge somebody tonight. It's time that you shift into another gear. I'm not saying you have to have something new, but you've got to rearrange what God has given you and say, all right, God, I'm ready to do something that has never been done before. The subtitle of this series is, it's not what you're running from, but rather who you're running to. And every time that you choose to run towards something, you are running away from something. When you chose to run to Jesus, you chose to run towards life and you ran away from death. When you chose prosperity, you turned your back on poverty and you ran away from lack, and now you're running towards more than enough. And so when we choose to run from something, we are running towards something, but not just something, but someone. As we unpack this subject of running, we will look at a few things, but the four things we will look at is how to run, what to run towards, that's direction, what to run from, that's protection, and why we run, which is revelation. If you ever get the revelation that some believers have, you'll never stop running your race. You'll keep running, even when you're tired, even when you want to quit, even when you trip, even when you might fall, you'll never stop running. You'll get up, you'll dust yourself off, and you'll keep running the race that God has placed in front of you. How many runners do we have in the room? A few of you lifted your hands up. You like to run. God bless you. I'm praying that anointing just leaps off of you and onto me. For those of you who know, I've been defeating some health challenges from 2023, and I'm down now 37 pounds. I'm excited about that. But I was sitting in, I've got a doctor, he's a great doctor, he's a strong Catholic man, and not very humorous, and very, very serious about what he does. And so last year, he was going through some medical things that he had seen in some of my tests, and he says, does heart disease run in your family? I said, no one runs in my family. That's why I'm here, doc. That's what's going on. He didn't crack a smile, y'all, because he's like, hey, we're talking about your health, man. This is not a funny issue. But I don't like to run, but I have run. I used to play a lot of basketball. One of the things I like about basketball is you're running without realizing you're running. But for you to tell me that I got to go out to a track and run, that's not my gig. I don't like that. I know it's necessary. I know the health benefits of running. I just don't like to run. But there are some that do love to run. But at the end of the day, about 15 or 20 hands went up. But I've got news for all of us. We're all runners. All of us can run. But the speed of our run and the longevity on how far we can run, that's a completely different conversation. Upstairs tonight, I believe if he's here, which I think he's here, is one of the fastest men on the planet, Quentin Summers. Quentin Summers is a record holder at the University of Baylor and missed going to the London Olympics by just a few hundredths of a second. He literally is one of the fastest men ever. Now, listen, he's got a heart in his chest. I have a heart in my chest. He's got two lungs. I have two lungs. He has 10 toes. I have 10 toes. He has 2 feet. I have 2 feet. He has 2 legs. I have 2 legs. Now, mind you, his legs are a lot longer than mine because he's like 6'3 or 6'4. But I've raced Q before, if you can call it a race, in this building on a Sunday morning. And he almost lapped me because he is trained to run. Because his nutrition is different than mine. Come on, somebody. His discipline is different. And so what goes into our ability to run is those things that I've just mentioned. Your strength. And so when we talk about running the race or running to where God is or running to do what God has called us to do, there's a lot of things that come into play. And you wanting to run is not going to cut it. You starting to run is not going to cut it. It is going to take strength. Strength takes time. When you come on a Wednesday night, I believe that God can start something very good because he is the author of our faith. But the Bible also says he is the finisher of our faith. So you know what's better than coming one Wednesday night? Coming a second Wednesday night and a third Wednesday night. You know what's better than Wednesday nights only? Opening your Bible on a Thursday, on a Friday, talking to God 7 days a week, talking to God numerous times a day, worshiping God when Tyler's not on the keyboard, worshiping God when Tanya doesn't have a microphone in her hand, worshiping God when the lights and the words aren't on the screen. Having a daily relationship with Jesus Christ is what's going to strengthen you to run your race. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but the devil's not just chasing you on Sundays from 11 to 12:30 or Wednesdays from 7 to 8:30. He's out there looking for you to steal, kill, and destroy, and he is going about as a lion looking for someone to devour. And I'm here to tell you, I'm running my race, and I'm not running from him. I am running to him, but I've got to have strength to be able to run in such a way that has longevity and speed that I finish what God has called me to finish. Discipline. It takes discipline to run. Discipline. If we are disciples, same root word, discipline. Disciple. Disciples are people of discipline. What I love about Wednesday night is you fought traffic, you fought bad news, you fought a bad boss, you had all kinds of things happening today, but you said, it's church time tonight, and I'm not going to be seen by Brandon, I'm not going to rub shoulders with my friends, I'm going because the presence of the Lord is going to be in that room, and I am disciplined because I know that when I get there, God is going to do something of significance in my life. To be a good runner, it takes nutrition. I was training years ago on one of the many times that I was getting in shape. How many of you have ever been there before? The many times that you've started. So the strength and conditioning coach named Mike Brock, who was a great member of this church, who now moved up to Copper's Cove. He was the strength and conditioning coach for East Central out here in St. Hedwig and Atkins area. And so he said, hey man, come out to the school anytime. So I was going out 5 days a week, and I was running, and I was lifting weights and all those things. And this is why I loved Mike Brock, because Mike Brock was a real one, but this is what he said. I said, what do I need to eat while we're working out? He said, I don't care what you eat when we're working out. He said, but every time you show up to the gym, you're going to tell me what you ate. And that's going to determine how long you stay in the gym and how hard we work. Can I encourage you, if you're going to run the race that God has called you to run, the nutrition, what you're putting into your life, what you're putting into your ears, what you're putting in front of your eyes, what you're letting come out of your mouth, coming into your life, all of that is going to matter. And some of us, it seems like, man, it seems like I've got to work twice as hard as so-and-so to run the same race that they're running. Could it be that you are eating all kinds of junk and consuming all kinds of calories, empty calories and all of these things? Could it be that they are not filling their life with all of that? Could it be that they don't surround themselves with dramatic people? Could it be that they don't live in chaos? Could it be that they choose and make better decisions? So if I can encourage you, if you are going to run the race that God has called you to run, we're going to have to fix what is coming into our life, and that will have a direct input. That will have a direct effect on what is coming out of our life. Here's another thing that affects the way we run: past injuries. 3 years ago, I popped my Achilles. God healed me, praise God, no surgery. But I did not use wisdom. I went to one of my physical therapy appointments. I stepped in the physical therapy room. I was the youngest guy in there by 40 years. I did not even stay for the first session. I looked around and said, oh, I could do this at home. But guess who did not do any of that at home? The biggest workout my Achilles has had is putting the recliner up and down 3 or 4 times a night when I get home. So now if I were to run to that door there, I would make it about 10 steps and my Achilles tightens up like it's going to pop again. And so now it has hampered my ability to run. The injury was 3 years ago. But here we are in 2024 and it's still affecting me. Can I encourage somebody in the room today? Let's make it spiritual and bring it to where you are. If you don't heal right, and if you don't, come on somebody, if you don't let God heal you from past hurts, whether those hurts are your fault or someone else's fault, if you don't allow Jesus to heal you, we're going to look up in 2028 and you're going to be able to say, I want to run, but I cannot run because I'm still carrying the weight of what I went through in 2018 and 2021 and 1988. I don't know what your past is, and I'm not naive that it hurt you, that it scarred you, that you bled a little because of what you went through. But I do know this, that God loves you enough to say, hey, cast those cares on me because I care for you. And you cannot run the race that I've called you to run if you are continually carrying those things that I've told you not to carry. And then the final thing that it takes to run is just will to not stop. One of the great members of this church, Miss Diana Hernandez, has started running marathons. I don't even know how to, I can't bike a marathon. I don't hardly drive a marathon every day. She's out running 26, 27 miles at one time, flying to locations. I can't do it in our city. She's flying all over our nation. Chicago over here doing this. And I said, how can you train? She goes, at the end of the day, you can only train so much. And once you get to that 15th mile, 17th mile, 18th mile, you just have to decide, no matter how much it hurts, no matter how it feels right now, I'm not going to stop. I've come this far and I'm not going to stop now. Can I bring it home to somebody in your walk with God? You have come too far to stop now. You've got too much invested to stop now. You have done so much in the kingdom to stop now. I know it hurts now, and I know you might be going through a season of loss and a season of hurt, but I'm here to tell you, just keep putting one foot in front of the next. You might not be running at a sprint in February of 2024. Maybe you have slowed down to a jog, or maybe you're crawling today, but I just want to encourage you, keep moving forward no matter what it costs and at all costs. In 2006, we raised money for the young people here at Living Way, and the youth staff, we lost weight to raise money. I blame Pastor Mandy's pregnancy that I gained 50 pounds in 2.5 years. Sympathy weight is what they call it. We'll just go with that. Praise God. But a lot of us lost a lot of weight. We raised like $8,000 in 12 weeks. I lost 45 pounds in 12 weeks. Say, how did you do it? No sugar, zero cheat days. That means no more soda, no sweet tea. It was a long 12 weeks, y'all. No sugar, no carbs. It was salads. I was rolling up pieces of cheese and ham every night. That was my meal for 12 weeks. And I would run 5 to 6 miles every day. I hate treadmills because I don't like to put that kind of effort and stay in the same place. Me and Pastor Mandy would go to New Braunfels High School and we'd run around the track. I don't like running in circles, y'all. I've read enough of Egypt and Israelites coming out of Egypt in the 40 years. I don't want to ever mimic the circle cycle. So you know how I would run? I would tell Pastor Mandy, I'm ready to run. She would take me 6 miles from our house and drop me off. And I would run. Because I knew at the end of my run, there's a house, there's a chair, there's a shower, there's a water. And so we don't run to just run. If you're exerting effort in your walk with God and not getting anywhere or going in circles, you are not running your race right. You might not be on the same track, the right track. You might be in the wrong lane. Because if you are going to put forth an effort, you better be seeing God do some great things in your life. All of that to get to the first way we run. Number one, we run with endurance. Different translations in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, they use endurance, they use patience, they use perseverance. So whether we're talking about running with endurance, patience, or perseverance, it's all running the same way. Hebrews chapter 12, because I want to give you a lot of word to back these up. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight. Somebody say the weight that slows us down, especially the sin that easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. The two things that will affect your race or your run of endurance is weight and sin, and they're two very different things. Weight will slow you down, but sin will trip you up. See, I don't want you to fall, and sometimes when we're running, the weights of the world that we're carrying, we are not running in an expeditious way, meaning we are not meeting the marks God wants us to meet at the time He wants us to meet because we are slowed down. But I've got good news for you. The Bible says we can cast off that weight, which means tonight you and I can make a decision. I'm not going to let worldly things weigh me down in such a way that I miss God's mark and I miss God's timing and I miss God's destination for my life. You say, what's a weight? We'll get to that here in just a minute. But sin is something entirely different, because sin not only weighs you down, sin trips you up. If weight slows you down, sin stops you. Weights are the cares of this life that will hinder you and hold you back. Sin is the things in this life that will separate you from Jesus and stop you. What you and I must do every day of our life when we are under an attack is we have to realize, is this a weight or a sin? Because if it's a sin, I need to stop it. If it's a weight, I need to cast it. See, some of us need to understand that there's a reason why in 2024 we feel so far behind. It's because all of 2022 and 2023, we were running a race with a bunch of weight that we should not have been running with. And it slowed us down and we are not meeting those marks. It's amazing to me that every day I go out and I feed my horses, every sack of feed is 50 pounds. I've lost 37 pounds, getting closer to that 50. But every day when I pick up that bag of feed now, I'm like, this is pretty heavy. And I think for the last 10 or 15 years, you've been walking and living and running with all of this extra weight. I can't do some of the things I used to do, or some of the things that I used to do. I can do them, but I do them a lot slower. Can I encourage somebody tonight? Identify the things that have slowed you down. Identify the things that have distracted you. Identify the things that have caught your attention and turned it away from the things of God or the finish line, because it's affecting the way you run. And like I said, this race is winding down and we've got to meet the finish line. And I know you're going to hit the finish line, and I know I'm going to get there, but there are 6 billion people that are watching the way we run our race, and we've got to be able to help them run theirs. Weights hinder and hold, but sin separates and stops. Real quick, here are some common weights that slow us down. Comparison. I want to free somebody tonight. Quit looking at the way everybody else is running their race. Quit looking at their track. Quit looking at their lane. What they're doing, what they're not doing is none of your concern. You run your race. Well, what about so-and-so? I don't see them at Living Way anymore. Run your race. Well, what about this person over here? I thought they did. Run your race. You don't have time to look at them if you are focused on what God has put your hand to, what God has put your foot to, and where God has put your eye to. Social media has exacerbated this problem, because we look at everybody's highlight reel. Everybody looks like a rock star on social media because you are seeing only what they want you to see. But I encourage you, let me encourage you, that they put on their shoes just like you do. They got problems just like you do. They got issues just like you do. Can I encourage you to quit looking at them, start looking at him, and run your race? Somebody say run. Here's another way: lack of progress. We look at how little we've accomplished compared to how much we have left to do. Can I encourage you, stop looking, stop thinking so negatively, and start looking at all God has done. Look at all God. I've talked to people who said, yeah, I fell off again, and man, I had been sober for 3 years, and I made a mistake, and I've only been sober for 3 days. 3 days is better than no days, praise God. You're better than you used to be. You're stronger than you used to be. Quit comparing yourself by what you used to be or how little you've come. Again, you have made progress. There might be a lot left to do, but God's going to help you do it. Depression is a weight. Cast it off. Depression will slow you down. Depression is when you let your past or present contaminate your now. Don't let your past into your now. Don't let your past mess up your now. Don't let your past keep you from running now. Depression is when you let your past or present contaminate your now. Some of us, it's not depression, it's anxiety. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, pray about everything. Anxiety is when you let your present or future contaminate your now. Depression is when you look at your yesterday and you look at your now and you don't like it. Anxiety is when you look too far in the future and you look at your now and you don't like it. I'm here to tell you, I'm not looking too far behind me. I'm not looking too far ahead of me. I'm living right now, and I'm doing what I can do today to run my race. Self-worth is a weight, not seeing you as God sees you. I wish that we could see ourselves every morning the way that God sees us. It would change the way we live. Some of us are too hard on ourselves. I'm not telling you not to have self-accountability. I'm not telling you to not work on yourself, but I'm telling you that God loves you, and when God looks at you, he sees a son or a daughter. And even though I've been disappointed in my children sometimes, and even though I've disappointed my parents sometimes, their love and their view of me has never changed. And I want to tell you, no matter how far you've fallen short of God's glorious ideal for your life, he loves you, and he is rooting you on, saying, get up and keep running your race. Here's a big weight: selfishness. We put ourselves before God. Here's another way to say it. Anytime we become selfish, we make ourselves God. Selfish is when we worship ourselves. Selfish is when we fall in love with ourselves. We adore ourselves. Come on now. We praise ourselves. All of that is supposed to belong to God. And so selfish is when we put ourselves before God. You're never going to run your race the way that you're supposed to run, being selfish. Sometimes our job, our work becomes a weight. That's when we put money before God. If anybody knows offenders, we love to work hard, but it never comes before God. I've never missed a service to do a business deal. I've never missed a service to make money somewhere else. I planted myself here, and I believe because I planted myself here on Sundays and Wednesdays, God says, hey, those other 5.5 days, I will make up to you in spades. I will make sure that you're taken care of. I asked a couple pastor friends of mine a couple weeks ago when we were teaching this to our young adults and youth, what are some of the weights that are preventing people from running their race and fulfilling God's purpose? Can I tell you that two pastors texted me back within 2 minutes with a list of things, meaning they could right off the top of their head say, this is what people are dealing with. One of them said comparison. There that word is again. One said imposter syndrome. That's when you're a fraud. You know what's a weight? Living one way here on Wednesday night and one way out there on Thursday. Living one way in here on Sunday morning, living some way, different way out there on Friday and Saturday night. Listen, you got to have a really good memory if you're going to live a double life. You got to remember, what friends am I with? What language am I using? Is this vocabulary acceptable here like it is here? You're an imposter syndrome and it becomes heavy. Busyness becomes heavy. A lack of drive becomes heavy. Distractions become weights. Not the best home life. A lack of godly friends. Your friends can become weights. Those friends you love. Those friends that you make excuses for and defend even when you know they're wrong for you. They're slowing you down. You could have already been 10 miles down the track, but you can't lose them. And you choose them over him. And then you have the nerve to say, God, I thought I'd be further down the road than I am. You could have been if you got rid of the weight. Another pastor sent this list very quickly. He said pride. Pride becomes a weight. Fear of failure becomes a weight. Opinion-driven decision-making becomes a weight. Comparison. That's the third preacher now that said comparison. Fear becomes weight. Need to know everything becomes a weight. Some of us refuse to run because we don't know what's going to happen the next day. If Abraham knew where he was going, he wouldn't be called the father of faith. He'd be called the father of Google Maps. But the fact that God said go and he didn't say where, he just started walking, is the reason that 4,000 years later that Jesus talks about him in a positive way. It's the reason that 6,000 years later, thousands of preachers, millions of believers call him the father of faith, because when God said go and God said start running, Abraham didn't say, I'm going to need to know how far I need to go, when I need to stop, when I need to go left, who I need to go with. He just said go, and Abraham started running. Is there somebody with some faith on a Wednesday night that will say, God, for the rest of my life, when you say go, you don't have to print me out Google Maps. You don't have to tell me when and where and how. When you tell me to go, God, I will go. I will go. A lack of submission, a lack of surrender to the Lord becomes weighty. An earthly mindset, but expecting kingdom resources. Oh, that's so good. That becomes a weight when you have an expectation of spiritual things, but your flesh is not allowing you to step into that faith. Low-level thinking and low-level friends. These are pastors now. Let's go back to verse 2. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. I love how the NLT says this. The champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. So how do we do this? We endure. Running with endurance. Running in such a way that we announce to the world, to the devil and all of his minions, it does not matter what happens on Thursday, I'm going to keep running. It doesn't matter what happens to the person on the in the lane next to me, I'm going to keep running. Should my best friend flake out, I'm going to keep running. Should I lose this along the way, I'm going to keep running. Endurance matters and is necessary. Endurance defined is the fact or power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way. I asked Diana when she told me she was running a marathon, I said, is there any prizes? They, like you win, they give you 10 grand or something? No, we get a medal and a free t-shirt. But she said, that's not why I do it. I said, why do you do it? She said, because the feeling of accomplishment that I trained and that what I had to go through to get to the finish line and for the rest of my life, when the medal rusts and the t-shirt fades, I will know that I did not quit when others quit. I will know that when it got tough and I wanted to stop, I did not stop. I endured to the end. I forgot how many thousands were in the Chicago Marathon, but she said, the most surprising thing is, Pastor Brandon, 3,000 of them did not finish the marathon. They trained for it. They bought a plane ticket in some cases, flew from around the world in some cases, only to not finish the race. Now, if we can march those 3,000 quitters across the stage, and I'm not hating because they got farther than I did in the Chicago Marathon, but if we were to march 3,000 marathon runners across this stage, I guarantee you every one of them would have an excuse, at least one, as to why they quit. But check this out. The thousands that finished had the same thought, but did not stop. Had the same excuse, but did not quit. Can I tell you that you're not the only one that feels like you're feeling in this season of your life? Some people are better at hiding it. Some people are better at putting a smile on their face. Some people are better at faking it till they make it. I want to encourage you, don't fake it till you make it. Faith it till you make it. It's a lot better. But I've seen some people worship in this altar with tears streaming down their face. And it wasn't in awe of God. It was the pain that they were going through. But they still chose to worship. David stands, stand on your feet. David stands after bringing cheese and bread to his brothers who had been dodging and hiding from Goliath for some time. While he's delivering the cheese and the bread, Goliath comes out and the Bible says defies the armies of God. He's talking a lot of trash. He's mocking them. He's calling out Jehovah God and using his name in a derogatory way. David is appalled that all of these so-called militant leaders and fighters are hiding. And they begin to tell David, whoever defeats him, this is what the king is going to do for them. But I love what David says. David says, is there not a cause? Is there not a purpose? Is there not? Don't tell me you're scared. Tell me the reason you're running, and I'm going to use that reason to not run from him, but to run to him. There's a lot of the great things that we take out of David's story. He's the smallest brother. Just a shepherd, but comes with a sling, comes with a stone. But you know what I love about the story of David? I don't hardly hear anyone ever preach it. But when you read it in the King James Version, the Bible says, fast forwarding that story, when David gets ready to fight Goliath, the Bible says, and David ran down into the valley. Goliath comes out, and the people of God run that way. They run from. But the same reason they're running from is the reason that David runs to. He's big. I'm running from him. David said, he's big. I'm running towards him. He's so big, I can't miss. He said, I've been out there killing raccoons and rabbits with these stones. He said, that guy's 9 foot 9 inches tall, 600 pounds. He said, I can't miss. They ran because he was defying the armies of God. They ran from. David said, no, we're not going to play this game. If you talk about my God, you've got a fight on your hands. And he ran to meet him. Because I believe this was in David's heart. I would rather die fighting to defend the name of God than to live running from the giant that's defying that name. I know it's only February. We're only 6 weeks into a new year. But I also know that 6 weeks can seem like 6 decades when you've got weights, or perhaps you're living a life of sin. Most churches aren't going to talk to you like this, but sin separates you from Jesus. And I need to tell you as plainly as I can, church, those of you watching online and in the room, it not only separates you from Jesus here, that's bad enough. It separates you from Jesus for eternity. Say, how long is eternity? It's 1 billion years times 1 billion years times 1 billion years. And that's just a drop in the bucket.